God is good. All the time. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You ever have the devil mess with you? Yeah. Me too. It's amazing, though, that in light of that, there are people who consider themselves very learned that say there is no devil, there is no Satan, there is no ultimate evil, that stuff just is stuff. Now, I don't know if you believe that, but I can tell you your pastor doesn't believe what they're saying. I believe that there is very much a literal devil. I believe that. He's got many titles in the Bible, but they all describe who he is and what he's about. In the book Revelation, he's called Apollyon, the destroyer. In John, Jesus calls him the thief. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. Throughout Scripture, he's known as the devil, Satan, Lucifer. He's real. Now, I want to tell you this because anytime you set out to preach or teach anything that reveals Satan for who he is, he hates it. But the best I can say about it this morning is I don't give a rip. But I respect it. And so we're going to pray. What I'm praying is that God would surround this place with his angels. That he would surround your mind so that you keep your mind on what's being said. You do understand that the Satan's battleground is your mind. That he will plant thoughts that you didn't think. He will try to plant fear when you didn't have fear. He will plant worry. He will do everything he can to disrupt and destroy your effectiveness and your life. But folks, I read the end of the book and we win.
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh, Father, I come before you and I adore you. I confess my own sinfulness, my own brokenness, and my own inability, God, in the flesh to fight this kind of warfare. But I come before you bearing the cross of Christ and carrying the blood of Jesus over my heart. And I claim your word, Father. I submit to your authority. I resist Satan and his forces. And I'm asking you, Lord, to garrison this place this morning and garrison our minds with your presence and your angels. God, I pray that you would help me as I navigate through this morning, as we talk about doctrine, God, to come upon such a fearful topic, God, and one that the flesh cannot address. And so I come to you, Lord, and I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I'm asking you to anoint me with power from on high that I might be a blessing to your people. God, if there's one person here that doesn't know you in a relationship with you through Christ, I pray this would be the day. Lord, help us as believers not to fear Satan, but to respect his existence and understand his methods. God, to do what's right. Thank you for your mercies and what you're about to do in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
In 2 Thessalonians 2:18, there's a very curious scripture. Out of all the Bible characters, I would never expect to have heard this out of this man's lips. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the powerful Apostle Paul. This is the great Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle Paul that wrote probably a huge percentage of the New Testament. And I want you to listen to what he said. If you've ever had the devil mess with you, you and I are in good company. Look at verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. You might want to outline that with a highlighter or underline it with a pen or pencil. Satan hindered us. Now, I want you to understand this, that Satan cannot defeat us in the end. Who wins? That's right. Through Christ, we win. Not through ourselves, not because of our own willpower, not because of anything in us. Now, I cannot do anything about the folks that aren't here today, but what I can say is this: God knew who would be here today. And so I want to encourage you to listen, because there's going to be something in here that you needed or someone you know needs that you need to carry to them after this message. I want you to notice four things about Satan as we set on this journey this morning. First of all, I want you to understand that Satan is real. Now, I want to let that sink in a second. That's not real deep, but I want you to settle it. Satan is real. You with me? Secondly, Satan is religious. Third, Satan is respected. And fourth, Satan is restricted. Satan is real, Satan is religious, Satan is respected, and Satan is restricted. Now, it's interesting that Paul would say, basically, that the devil got in his way. Now, some of us in here are old enough to appreciate this. The majority of you probably not, but I'm going to go ahead and use it. Flip Wilson used to have a show, a comedy show, and one of his lines he said a lot was, "The devil made me do it." And I know people today that use the same excuse. But I want you to understand this. Unless you are personally demonized, Satan can't make you do anything. And he can't even demonize you. That means to be demon-possessed, unless you let him come into your heart and life. Now, I don't have time to teach on demons and demonism, but I will say this. Demons are simply fallen angels who have sworn their allegiance to Satan, turned their backs on God, and they exist today. Now, I'll leave it at that. I will just say this, that Satan is a powerful foe, and he has his own army that we need to respect. Now, there's two passages of Scripture I need you to turn to, and I'm going to give you time to do it. I need you to turn to Ezekiel in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Once you get there, I want you to mark your place. And I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 28. I love to hear the rustle of the leaves in the fall. Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14. Now, you may or may not be aware of this, but Christianity is not the only culture that believes in an ultimate evil being. Hinduism has its own version. Islam has its own version. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but they also, in Islam, mention demons, and they're called jinn, J-I-N-N. We know them as genies, not with a J, but with a G. Okay? And I'm not talking about a garage door opener. Thank you for getting that. But, so, when somebody's messing around with the unseen, you got to be real careful. Because you may not mean anything by it, but Satan does take it personally. So I will tread softly around the area so that you don't try to get involved in it. But let me also say this. The Bible says that we are to be wise concerning that which is good and ignorant concerning that which is evil. And that means through personal experience. Don't find out how bad it is to get hooked on drugs by going out and trying drugs. Don't try to find out how bad it is to be drunk by going out and getting drunk. We're not to do that. Now, in order to understand who Satan is, we kind of got to trace his path. When do we first hear about the devil? Anybody know? In the garden, book of Genesis. There he's called the serpent. Subtle, quiet, sneaky. These are all descriptions of how he acts and how he operates. And so, in the garden, then we see him again with a fellow named Job. Job's doing his thing, minding his own business, And guess who shows up? Satan. And what happens, I don't have time for the whole story, but basically, Satan appears before God, and Satan is asked by God. He says, what have you been doing? He said, I've been walking back and forth, to and fro, through the whole earth. Now, that's interesting. Book of Job is probably the earliest writing in the Bible. Not the earliest in chronological order, but the earliest as far as written word goes. Then over in the New Testament, Peter warns us that your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That ties directly. So, in the Old Testament, thousands of years ago, Satan was walking around the earth trying to devour people. In the New Testament, Satan's walking around the earth trying to devour people. Because you see, another description of him is the roaring lion. Now, I want to say this about Satan as well. We should respect who he is, but you and I should not be afraid of him personally, and I'll tell you why. If Satan ever comes to your door, send Jesus to answer. Amen. We have the living Christ. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We should respect him, as we'll see, but we should not fear him. The only one really that a Christian should ever fear is his own foolishness and the power of God should you turn your back on God. So, Satan is real. We see that. So, Job, in the situation with Job, Satan appears before God and accuses Job and says, you know, if you let me take away everything he owns, he will curse you. God says, all right, take everything he owns, but you can't touch him. Well, he does. He takes out everything. And Job's answer was, well, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then Satan comes back and says to God, says, oh yeah, anybody can take losing his stuff, but you touch his health. You break his health and see what he does. And God says, okay, you can do that, but you can't kill him. Now, by the way, who's in charge? Not the devil. You ever have one of those days where you wonder? Well, you don't need to wonder. God's still in charge. Satan cannot do anything except it passed by with permission from God first. Not that God is evil and enjoys evil and wants Satan to do evil, but God sees the end story, and sometimes what he'll do, no, let me correct that, all the time, he can use even bad things to bring about good. Amen. Even if it results in you being a broken person, God can use broken people. So sometimes Satan seems to get away with everything, but he doesn't. So Job is just basically broken physically, and he still doesn't curse God. That's where his wife, the great support that she was, looked at him in all his nastiness with boils all over his body and basically says, are you still going to maintain your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? That's the kind of help you need, isn't it? Yeah, boy, she was a big help. But you know what? In this world, there's always people like that around you, isn't it? Their mindset is, if the devil messes with you or anything goes wrong, it's because you're not right. Have you ever thought that that's backwards? Have you ever thought it's because you're on the right track that Satan is resisting you? It's not because you're on the wrong track, because if you're headed for hell, he's going to step out of the way and let you go. He's not going to get in the way. He's not going to try to slow you down. He's not going to try to stop you. But the reason that he gets in your way is he wants you to stop. He wants you to turn back. He wants you to quit because he knows several things. You see, Satan is also very religious. He knows this. There is a God in heaven, and there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He knows it. And so you see, he's very religious. There is no demon who has ever been an atheist. One of the reasons the Bible calls an atheist a fool is they're more ignorant than the devil himself. Because even the devil and the demons have never, ever thought there was no God. They know better. You know why? They used to be up there with him. I want you to look with me now into the Old Testament. We'll kind of look at some of the background here so that you can get an understanding of who our adversary is. So if you would, be so kind, Turn to Ezekiel's writing, Ezekiel chapter 28 first. And let's find out some background. Look at verse 13 and following. Let me back up to verse 12. Back up to verse 12. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up the lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, by the way, the king of Tyrus is a type of Satan. You'll find out why in just a second. You'll see it. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, speaking of Satan, it says, thou sealest up the sun full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle. And gold of the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. By the way, Satan is directly affiliated and associated with music. One of his jobs in heaven, evidently, was to be in charge of music. Now, I realize we have brothers and sisters that may or may not believe that there's going to be any kind of instrumental music in heaven, and that's all right, but I guarantee you, when we all get there, we're going to jam to whatever's playing. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. It says in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. In the Bible, we are told there are two basic kinds of angels. There are seraphs, often called seraphim, which just means plural. There's more than one. And cherub or cherubim, which is plural. So you got two types. One is a seraph. They have specific missions and things that they do. Another type of angel is a cherub. Satan was a cherub. We know that because the scripture tells us. Not only that, we know his location, that he served around the throne of God before his fall. And he was gorgeous. If you were to look at Satan, you wouldn't see some guy in a red suit with a pitchfork and a pointy tail. Satan was absolutely gorgeous. When you looked at him, you saw full beauty. As a matter of fact, the word beauty in heaven at that time would not have been some voluptuous woman in a picture. It would have been Satan. He was absolutely the sum of everything beautiful God could do. He put in Satan. But Lucifer, he did not keep that in the proper place. There's lots of people that don't put it in the proper place. God gives them physical beauty or gives them wealth, and they don't keep it in the proper place. You following me? Well, Satan didn't either. Satan did something Elvis Presley said you should never do. Elvis Presley said when someone was bragging on him, he said in his gargly voice, later in his years, he said, never believe your own publicity. Don't believe your own publicity. If you get the big head and people are saying how wonderful you are, don't believe it. Satan did, and he started believing it. He goes, you know what? I'm not bad. Now, I know he couldn't look as good as me. I'm just trying to take the illustration and follow him. He said, you know this thing about being God? I could be like God. I could do this. He was so powerful. There's some debate exactly what position he held as far as rank and structure, because angels have rank and structure. But my thoughts is that he was probably, we know of two angels that were archangels. Listen to me, please. Watch two archangels. We know Michael and Gabriel. I believe there used to be a third. His name was Lucifer. God does things in threes. It's interesting that Michael is like an angel of warfare. Gabriel was the messenger. So you see, Michael is said in the book of New Testament in Revelation that Michael and his angels fought the devil or the dragon and his angels. We're also told that when the devil was cast out of heaven, he didn't go alone. The Bible used this descriptive picture saying he was a dragon who took a third of the stars with him in his tail. So a third of the stars represented a third of the angelic beings, cherubs and seraphs, that went with Satan when he was booted out. Are you with me? And so there's this huge horde of evil that has left heaven, who's been stripped of all their good and all their spiritual glory, and all that is left is the evil and the brokenness within them. Satan is the head of that group. Now, I don't know what you believe, but I'm a real deep theologian. I watch cartoons sometimes. Now, these cartoons are way too old for many of you, but some of you may recognize them. How many of you ever watched a Bugs Bunny cartoon besides me? Okay, good. Good. See, you guys are deep too. Keep your hand up. It always shows the devil down in hell with his little suit on. I got news for you. He ain't there. He ain't there yet. And so we see in this passage, it describes Satan. It tells us he was gorgeous. And said in verse 15 of this passage, he said, let me back up to 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. This is going to describe his fall. This is going to describe his fall. Look at Isaiah 14. Let's go ahead and start in verse 4. Before he used the picture of the king of King Tyrus, now he uses the picture of the king of Babylon as being a type of Satan. And he's going to explain some things to us concerning Satan, his fall and his judgment. And so let's read. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. By the way, this is one of the reasons I know we win as well. Even in the Old Testament, we're told we win in the end. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. In other words, what it's saying, when Satan is finally judged, and he is placed in that place called hell, even the physical earth will rejoice at his absence. Because finally, there will be peace. By the way, if you sort all your trash into plastic, glass, and etc., you know this world's still going to burn up, right? You are not going to save the planet. If you stop driving an SUV and everybody buy a Prius, you're still not going to save the planet. You know why? It's broken because of sin. It's not broken because of carbon dioxide. It's broken because of man's sin, not what man does to the environment. Now, I'm not advocating going out and trashing the planet, but I am saying this. We are trying to save our planet that can't be saved because it's broken in sin, and one day God's going to clean the slate and burn all this up. Then why, for heaven's sakes, are we spending so much of our time worried about stuff and fighting for stuff and trying to get stuff that's going to burn up? And no insurance is going to cover it, by the way. Because you see, God said there's going to be a new heaven and the earth. So the picture here at the beginning of this passage is when Satan falls. And it says in verse 9, hell from beneath is moved for thee to greet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings and nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy viols, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that openeth not the house of his prisoners? In other words, what's going to happen when Satan is ultimately defeated? We're going to look at him in our brand new resurrected bodies, bodies where we are like Jesus, and people are going to go, is this the pipsqueak I was worried about? Is this the punk I let push me around? Is this the one that kept the whole world tore up? We're not going to believe it, but I'm here to tell you, take courage, because we win. He doesn't win. On your worst day, I'm telling you, he still doesn't win unless you let him. Sometimes we get awful low, don't we? We need to be reminded every once in a while about our place and his place. Let me tell you about your place. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are a child of the living God. You have royal blood pumping through your spiritual veins. You are a child of the King. You are not a stepchild of the King. You are a child of the King. You are a joint heir with Jesus, and you have everything that Jesus has. He's given to you. Then why on earth do you walk around defeated most of the time? Goodness gracious, get some medicine, do something. But put a smile on your face sometime. I don't mean sleep with a coat hanger in your mouth. I don't mean walk around like this and smile and say, what happened? Well, I just cut my leg off. I'm scared about Christians who do that all the time. You ever met somebody like that? Praise Jesus. I got my foot run over. Praise Jesus. Man, please be normal, but at least don't let him whip you around all the time. I know folks, they look just like an old green-lipped Georgia mule all the time. What's wrong? Oh, devil's after me. He's been whooping on me. Do you want to get saved? I want an inoculation against whatever you got. If being saved means you walk around like that, I don't want any of that. God never called his children to walk around in defeat. He called us as prince and princesses to live in his kingdom forever, to be joint heirs on equal footing with his son Jesus Christ, because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for you. We have victory in Jesus, not tomorrow, not when he comes back. We've got victory right now. When are you going to start living like you have victory? Quit walking around here like you're a whipped pup all the time. I'm going to tell you what, God's sick of you acting like that, and he's sick when I act like that. He wants us to lift up our heads when we see trouble, because our redemption draws nigh. He wants us to be encouraged in the beloved, because we know this is not our home, this isn't our final destiny, and that new home, it will put this to shame. The best house on this planet wouldn't make an outhouse in heaven. And we need to understand that. But I go back to my original thought. Satan can hinder you. Sometimes he hinders in your thoughts. Listen to me. She's cute, but listen to me. He can hinder your thoughts. Have you ever been sitting there minding your own business and all of a sudden you get a thought out of nowhere? And it ain't a good one? Ever wonder where that came from? Let me tell you where it came from. It came from either Satan or one of his imps. By the way, let me tell you what Satan is not. Listen to me. I'll tell you what he is not. He is not equal to God. Some people picture it like, by the way, the idea of yin and yang is that they're equal parts evil and equal parts good. Yin and yang is not truth. In Star Wars, they took the idea of yin and yang and called it the Force. And you can either use the Force for good, or you can use it for evil. They're both pretty much equal and powerful. But you choose which one. The only problem is, that's not truth. The truth is, God always always will come out on top. God will always win if we let Him. Now, how do you fight the devil? Well, I would love to be able to put on gloves sometime with brass knuckles under them and go duke it out with him. I would love to. I would love to have the opportunity, Justice, just to go clean his clock sometimes. But I don't have to. You know why? When they nailed Jesus to the cross, Jesus cleaned his clock. You know that the devil tried to keep Jesus from getting to the cross, right? Tried to kill him as a baby. Tried to keep him from ever being conceived. If you go down and look through his lineage, you look at the lives that were absolutely changed and made a difference. Last week we talked about Rahab, the harlot, who is in the lineage of Christ, who would have been dead with the rest of Jericho had she not trusted God. You see, the church itself is only one generation away from extinction. And the devil is powerful. And yes, there are casualties. There are people who give up. There are people who quit God. There are people who turn their back on. And you can just dismiss it and say, well, they weren't real. You can say what you want to say, but I'm here to tell you there's coming a day when all the lights will be turned on in everybody's life, including mine and yours. And what will be seen is absolute truth. And you'll find that there are people who dedicated their heart to Christ and turned and walked away. What a disastrous thing. You say, where will they be? We'll save that for another doctrinal message. But let me say this. I want to be faithful unto death. I don't want to see how far I can drift from God. I want to see how close I can get. I want to see how I can live for Him the rest of my days. I want to see how that the time that He has given me, I can make it count for Him, not myself. I love different things. I watched the UT game, and yes, I smiled because they finally won. But I'm here to tell you, that's just stuff. That's just stuff. It's not going to last. You ever notice some of these guys, man, they jump up and down, they score a touchdown, they go nuts, man, and they're just all fired up, and they still lose the game. But I'm on the team that's going to win. And I want to act like I'm on the team that wins. Because you see, we've already got the champion. He died on the cross. We already have the championship at Calvary. Already won. Already paid for it. And I want to try to live out the rest of my days for Him. Amen? How about you? Because I've read the end of the book. And here's what I found. Turn to the book of Revelation, if you will. Last book in the Bible. Book of Revelation. Look in chapter 20, if you will. Prior to that, we are told that the whole world rejoiced because the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. By the way, I told you how that he accused Job. Do you know that he accuses you and me? I haven't heard the conversation, but I've experienced it. He'll whisper in your ear and he'll say, you ever heard that voice? By the way, any suicide hears the same voice. You're worthless. Kill yourself. It'll be better. It's a lie. It's a lie. I am so grateful for the blood of Jesus. Amen? And I don't have to believe a lie. I can trust the truth. And by the way, if you ever hear those voices, know where they come from. I had an old preacher friend, he used to say, whenever he smells something like that, and he's coming around and he hears that, he says, I smell sulfur. Meaning, it's from the devil. When you hear those voices that say those things to you, that try to drive you down, don't think for one second they came from God. Because all God will do, sis, is lift you up. He took me when I was in the miry clay, and he took me out of the pit, and he set my feet upon the rock. He established my goings. He never told me I was stupid. Oh my goodness. I had teachers tell me I was stupid. I did. Had teachers tell me I was stupid. Had teachers, I wrote a story. A teacher said, you couldn't have wrote that. I wrote it. Said, basically he was saying, you're too stupid. I don't know if anybody else heard those kind of voices over the course of your life, but I want you to put an end to them today and know where they came from. I want you to smell sulfur when those voices come speaking to your heart. Get those voices out of your head. You are a somebody to the King. He's reserved a place at His table for you and will wait the table for you. I can't imagine what that's going to be like, Kathy. Could you imagine Jesus coming up behind you, putting His hand on your shoulder and say, "Sis, you got enough biscuits? You want some more? Let me go get you some more." It's going to be awesome. You know why? You are a child of a King. And we are not the losers. Look in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 with me. Here's what I mean when I say I've read the end of the book. Amen. Verse 10, Revelation 20. "And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." I read the end of the book and we win. He's defeated, but that's not all. As you look with me at the end of the book, look at with me, if you will, at verse 5 of chapter 21. Right over just a half a page or a page, would you look over with me in Revelation 21 in verse 5. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Then I want you to turn with me to the last chapter of the Bible. And I want you to look in verse 12. This is Revelation 22, verse 12 and following. In the Sunday school class with the men, we've been talking about the second coming of Jesus. And in the last chapter, we have the last reminder. It says this in verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He that testifieth these things says, Surely I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus." Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What's the last word? I want you to understand God has the last word. I don't know what circumstances you're going through that have got you so defeated, but I want you to know God still has the last word. God says the last amen. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed, your eyes closed? I'm going to ask Brian, if he will, to come front and just play a verse of invitation song. And as he plays softly, I want you to consider wherever you are and understand that God loves you. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ through His Son, it's the only way that you can be on the winning team. It's the only way that you can know for sure if you were to leave this life, this very day, to know where you would be and that you would be in heaven, is to trust Christ as your personal Savior. I wonder with me, who will raise their hand and say, "Preacher, in this last week, I know the devil or one of his imps has messed with me." Would you put your hand up, put it right back, all over the house, all over the house. I've got good news. You can put your hands down. I've got good news. If you weren't on the right track, he would not be messing with you. I've got better news. God has made provision for you and I to fight him. not in our flesh, but in His strength. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God and resist the devil. Let me tell you something. In Ephesians 6, we're told about the armor. In James chapter 4, we're told about resisting. For the armor, we are told that we are in a battle, but we don't wrestle or fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness, my friend. There is a battle, and we are in it. Some of you are in it up to your eyeballs right now, and you need to be reminded that you are a child of the King. God has already purchased victory for you on Calvary. In the time you stepped out and claimed it. In the time that you knelt before the King of Kings and said, Lord, I believe you. Why don't you come this morning and give whatever it is that's weighing you down and give it to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My friend, let me tell you this. If he's messing with you, if Satan's messing with you, let me tell you this. Not only do you have the whole armor of God, you've got a formula to make him pack his bags and leave you. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say resist the devil and he'll flee. It says submit yourself to God and resist the devils. You're in here and you've been battling against God. It's time for you to submit yourself to God. Before you try resisting the devil, you better submit yourself to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you need to come and submit yourself new and afresh to God, would you come and do that? You want victory? I'm going to tell you, it takes submission. The way up for the Christian is down. The way to promotion is through self-demotion. To kneel is to get you to where you can stand. I want you to know that God has given you victory. Child of the King, you are not a stepchild of the King. You are a child of the King. Did you hear what I said? You have been adopted into the Beloved. And you are His child. He has got more for you than you can imagine or any televangelist could brag on. It may not be in stuff, but it's still full of victory and power. How about it? We sing about victory in Jesus, but do you have it this morning? Thank God, thank God, thank God I've read the end of the book and we win. Even on the worst days, remind yourself that the end of the book says we win. And my friend, I'm telling you, we win. Why don't you thank Him right now? Right where you're standing, right where you're kneeling. Why don't you thank Him for the victory that He's already given you? Is there somebody you're praying for? Why don't you thank Him now for the victory that He's already given, and that God will speak to the heart of that person, those people, and that God will use you to influence their lives for His glory. Now, I respect who Satan is, but I refuse to submit to him. I refuse to let him whip me around and control my life and not let his fear that he plants direct my path. I want to be led by the King to do the King's business. And God has called you to do it. Oh, Father, we bow your presence. We thank you for your word today. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. That, Lord, still touches lives and changes lives. God, thank you for those that are here today, and would you speak to their need? If there's anyone here that needs you as Lord and Savior, help them to understand its simplest childlike faith to admit they're a sinner, believe that Jesus died for them and rose from the dead, then express it by confessing it, that they believe that Jesus is Lord. God, give them the courage to do what they need to do. You promised if we did that, you'd forgive us and cleanse us. Now, Father, whoever in this room has been standing toe to toe against the devil or one of his imps this week, God, I am asking you to give them the assurance of their soul salvation, that you would give them the assurance of victory before they leave this place. That you would strengthen them, that you would comfort them, but that you would also mold them and encourage them to take a stand for you while kneeling before you. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for manifesting your presence in this place today. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you, Lord. And I'm asking you, Lord, that you would send us from this place and help us to make a difference for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 To God be the glory. I'm going to ask Medford, if he will, to dismiss us in prayer. And also, we have an item of business that we need to discuss Wednesday night. We're looking at the need to get a better computer so that we can do stuff on the screen on the wall and also some other things for the ministry. And so we're going to talk about that Wednesday night, if you can come. Also, we're doing our World Changers series on Thursday and Wednesday. It's been tremendous. We have been having a time. Also, down here, the young people with GLOW, we're still getting great reports, and these ladies are doing a tremendous job, Jennifer and Miss Leah, and thank you, Leah, for the newsletter. Be sure to grab one out there, and Lord bless you. All hearts and minds clear this morning. Isn't it good to be in the Lord's house? I'm going to ask Brother Medford, if he will, to dismiss us in prayer, Brother Medford.